Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
City of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
This is a stunning disappointment, and it was, as it was said, it's seen the long faces here, and it was heard in the gasp when Jock Rode announced that Chicago was out of contention.
Huck is out.
You always want to win when you do something like this.
Chicago is out?
Chicago has now been eliminated in the first round of voting for the 2016 Summer Games.
Was it overkill? Did we, in fact, look too American?
Wait a minute. Chicago is out?
We can hardly believe our ears. It is a quiet time in Daley Plaza in the city of Chicago.
No town does local politics better than Chicago.
Chicago is out?
The fact that a contingent from Chicago got out politicized, boy, talk, that is a double stomach punch.
It's a tremendous blow to not only those in Chicago, but it also will call into question the considerable efforts by the president and the first lady going over there.
Whether Obama factored into it or not, whether there's anti-Americanism.
Chicago is out?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I still can't believe it.
Now to get outdone on insider politics.
The energy and the air really went out of this crowd just a few seconds ago.
The air went out of that balloon real fast. But
Chicago is out?
Whatever the case is, this is a great city, man.
Wait a minute. Chicago is out?
Chicago, Chicago.
It is the Savage Nation. I can't say I'm celebrating. I'm not celebrating at all. It's just another blow to Obama's ego and to the Chicago aldermen who thought that they had, with a president in their pocket, the world in their pocket. Apparently the world told Obama to take a hike. That's all. They said you could take that TV star host that you have and the first lady and you and take a walk. Now, it's astounding to me that no one said anything about the fact that the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, doesn't have the time to meet with General McChrystal, who's stuck over in Afghanistan without sufficient troops or weaponry, a man who says health care is his number one priority, a man who has not fixed the economy, the unemployment rate is rising. I mean, this guy goes over there, and they treated him like a rock star when he got there, and then they gave him a screwing. Because they don't really actually think he's much. They actually think he's facile, empty, an empty suit. He's an empty suit. The world knows it. Now, that's one way to look at it. There's no other way to look at it, except if you want to put rose-colored glasses on the fact that Obama's hometown of Chicago has been thrown out of the Olympic quest, which is all about graft anyway. The reason the most Chicagoans were split on this, you know, about even, is because they knew that, A, they'd pick up the bill no matter what they told them, and B, they wouldn't be able to get to work because of the crowds on the public transportation. But what was the taxpayer's burden for this little outing? Here's a man who said, quote, when he ran, I have done more to take on lobbyists than any other candidate in this race, and I won. I don't take a dime of their money, and when I'm president, they won't find a job in my White House. That said Hussein Obama. Now, he has five lobbyists in his cabinet, and he just lobbied for Chicago. He's much worse than Bush, and Bush was horrible. Talk shows, trips to the Olympic Committee, not one conversation in 70 days with our military chief in Afghanistan. Nothing on health care. No health care plan. And no one knows why we're in Afghanistan. Now, the real story may be something different than what I'm saying. We don't really know the real story. They go to the IOC. What's the IOC? Does anyone know what the IOC is? Raise your hand. The International Olympic Committee. Who are they? They're as corrupt a body as Tammany Hall ever was. You have to schmear them, pay them off. And apparently there wasn't enough money in this or enough boys and girls in it for them to have said yes to Chicago. Instead, they chose the sex-drenched capital of Brazil to host the Olympics. So, you know, if I were an Obama supporter, I'd spin it and say, our president here, they'll listen to this now. This will be stolen by the, not only by the hem, but this will be picked up by ABC, CBS, and all the others who say I don't exist. Here it is, boys and girls, since you don't have brains enough to have thought this for yourself. Listen, the schmucks in the media were so blindsided by this rejection that they were just stunned, like the old deer in the headlight. Lost? No Chicago? No Chicago? Ooh, get me a pill. Get me my therapist. They could have figured this out. They could have spun it in Obama's favor. If I worked for Obama, here's what I would have said, because I'm a talk show host. The truth is that I give you my truth and no one else's truth, and that's the whole truth. The truth is I give you my truth. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It doesn't matter whether it's your truth, his truth, my truth, that truth, all aboard. All that matters is it's my truth. So here's my truth, is that if I worked for Obama, or I was one of the Pratt boys in the media who was falling all over the stage for Obama all these months and years now, what I would have said was, the IOC is so corrupt that Obama, and Obama is so uncorrupt that he couldn't sell it because he wasn't willing to give him a bribe. They wouldn't, but they're not smart enough. They can't think on their feet. You do know the IOC is a bunch of corrupt internationalists. The International Olympics Committee, you forgot already what happened last time. You forgot about this. You forgot about the Atlanta and Salt Lake City IOC bribery scandals. You forgot about that. In other words, they didn't get schmeared properly. Maybe the gang, leaders of Chicago didn't even want to spend any of the large. I mean, I don't know how it works. Maybe there's a certain percentage they have to pay. It's like a slotting fee in a supermarket. In other words, maybe it works out this way. The IOC lays it out. I'll tell you what, we want, 8% off the top, the VIG off the top of the gross. And maybe Chicago is offering 3. And maybe they try to negotiate 4 and they said, take a walk. Brazil is offering us 8. Goodbye, Charlie, and that's it. I don't know how it works. No, I don't know anything. I know nothing. No, I know nothing. I know nothing. I'm so dangerous that I know nothing. In other words, I know nothing to such an extent that a government would ban me from their country. That's how stupid I am. If I know nothing, why would Britain ban me? If what I say is so horrendously useless and meaningless, how come I'm banned in Britain? How come Rush Limbaugh gets the job of judging a Miss America and I get the job of speaking before the Cambridge Union in a debate? What does that tell you about America today? Nothing. You can't put 2 and 2 together and not come up with 4. So there it is. I don't know. You think this says anything about Obama's presidency, whether good or bad? Yes, they were voting on Obama, and they gave him a 0. They gave him a 0. Lofty vision, grandiloquence, lots of speeches, flies to Denmark. He takes a talk show host with him, who everyone thinks is a god. I never watched a day in my life. God should strike you dead if I'm lying. I have not watched Oprah Winfrey for more than in passing in my entire life, a total of 4 minutes. I have not watched David Letterman a total in my life more than 3 minutes. I have not watched Jay Leno a total in my life more than 3 minutes. I have to watch him as I'm clicking by for something more entertaining. But I understand she's important and powerful to people who stay at home and watch welfare, and collect welfare checks. Now, why would you think that Obama would think that Oprah Winfrey would convince the Olympic Committee that this is a good place to go, Chicago, because she went there? You'll notice there wasn't one white person on the trip. I'm sorry to say it to you. Did you notice that? Now, that's another card that the left hasn't played. They could spin this now and say that you heard one of the schmucks in the media say, well, they rejected it because they're anti-American. Now it's anti-American? They just loved us last week because he gave up the missile shields. He threw Czechoslovakia and Poland under the bus. He kissed the Saudi kings behind. He bowed down to Putin. They've loved us all over the world till now. Now what, it's anti-American all of a sudden? You could say it's racist if you're a liberal. But you wouldn't get away with it because they chose Brazil. Darn. Darn, had they only chosen in a white country with blue-eyed men, then you could have said, well, it's because he was a black president. Can't use that card. What can you use? All you could use is that it's a judgment of him by the delegates in Copenhagen who really shook his hand, treated him like a rock star, and then humiliated him. That's all. This was not a narrow defeat for Chicago, which would have been possibly acceptable. This was a defeat that on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 12, a bombshell, a blow for Obama at a time when the whole world is asking whether or not the man can govern. You hear this? The man's on television day and night. Press conference, interview, town hall rally, people in the media fawning over him. 3 months in a row. And what has he achieved the last 3 months? Nothing. Not a health care reform bill, nothing. He's done nothing. And it's pretty sad for us. Well, you say Iran has now taken part in bilateral talks with the U.S., and that's an achievement for him? Well, you're wrong. That's something that the Hitler of Iran and the mullahs of Iran have wanted for years. So Obama failed on that as well. He also threw Czechoslovakia and Poland under the bus in order to get Russian cooperation behind new sanctions against Tehran. Did he achieve anything on that? Remember I said maybe he achieved something with Russia? Wrong. 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 Because Vladimir Putin and the Chinese are opposed to sanctions on Iran. So despite all of the rhetoric and despite all the pomp, it is really nothing that he has achieved. And now, of course, you say, what does the Olympics have to do with his presidency? In my opinion, a lot, because the average person doesn't understand politics, nor are they really interested in it. It's a telegenic guy. They like him. They assume that the only reason his plans are being blocked is because of white racists who are blocking this poor, nice guy. But when they see that in their world, in their limited minds, the dodos of America who elected him, the pea brains, those who are slated for the ash heap of history because they don't even understand the world they're living in, the pea brains who elected Obama, if they understand anything, they understand sports. That's about all they understand. So in this sports game of getting the Olympics to Chicago, he threw everything on a table. You know, it would have been smarter for him to have sent the wife and the TV Schmendrick, whatever her name is, Winfrey. But he shouldn't have gone. He put his entire prestige on the line. They threw him out. They said no. They made him last. So even the Schmendricks with a pea brain, the people with pea brains, the dodo birds with small wings and large heads and little brains, even they understand sports. And in the sports analogy, they understand he failed them. And one thing the dodos like is a winner. They hate losers. I think that this is a terrible blow to Obama's presidency. How about you? I'll be right back.
Savage. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is.
See, now, I'm not celebrating that Obama has failed to bring the Olympics to Chicago. I'm not a sports fan. Nor do I like a weak president, but in the case of Obama, it's better to have him as a weak president because of his tendencies towards totalitarianism with a far-left slant. You can write that down and translate it for yourself later on after the haze is over. And I don't mean the purple haze. The fact of the matter is this was a blow to his presidency, not only to his ego. It was a blow not for America. True, don't make any mistake about it. The average American could care less whether it was in Chicago. They could care less about it. They care about the economy, stupid, and the war in Afghanistan that's going nowhere. That's really what they care about. They don't care about 2016 in Chicago. Now, why would a president with so many problems, unresolved problems, expend so much money? And by the way, his carbon footprint must have been really high to go over there. Where was Al Gore on this? Al Gore just got a $580 million, quote, loan from the U.S. government, i.e. your money, to build a car no one will buy in Norway. Did you hear that one? Mr. Global Warming, Al Gore, received a $580 million loan from the U.S. government, meaning that's where your money's going. It's unbelievable. The corruption level is beyond belief. Now, you talk about corruption. I got to remind you that the IOC is a corrupt body. You got to look up the 2002 Winter Olympic bid scandal. In the 2002 Olympic bid, there was a huge scandal involving allegations of a bribery to obtain the Winter Games in Salt Lake City. You see, in 1995, they had tried to secure the Games, but nothing worked. They gave out hats, and they gave out this. So then they decided that they were going to try harder. So for 2002, the Salt Lake City Olympic Committee in Utah, they spent millions on perks, including all-expense-paid ski trips, 13 scholarships. This is for the people on the IOC. Super Bowl trips, plastic surgery. IOC members were given deals on real estate. Their family members were even given jobs. cash bribes may have been employed. But then the scandal broke. And the cryptic document, which allegedly recorded personal preferences of IOC members, blew the case wide open. Because some members' names were in that document, and the word Geld was also in there. That's the German word for money. Geld is the German word for money because it means gold. Geld, does that make sense? And that indicated such members' receptiveness to cash bribes. And the plan worked. Because in 1995, the IOC announced Salt Lake City the winner. You hear this? Scandal broke on December 10, 1998, when Swiss IOC member Mark Hodler, head of the coordination committee overseeing the organization of the O2 Games, announced that several members of the IOC had taken bribes. So it went on and on. It was an investigation. I don't want to give you the whole deal here. So in 06, a report ordered by the Nagano region's governor said the Japanese city provided millions of dollars, quote, in an illegitimate and excessive level of hospitality to IOC members, including a $4.4 million amount spent on entertainment alone. Mitt Romney was brought in to head the SLOC. Romney aided in reorganizing the committee, helped to begin fixing the budget, which at the time was U.S. dollars, $379 million short. Anyway, you get the whole picture. It's all about money. It's nothing about honor. I mean, how many times can you watch an Olympics game and be enthused by it? What is in? Anyway, that's the story. So how do you feel about this? Marty in Toledo, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Uncle Mike. I had a sarcastic comment for you that this is racism towards Obama. But on a more
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Olympic Committee was clearly racist. But, of course, they gave it to Brazil, not to, to an Aryan nation, so to speak.
They may not like people of mixed race, but on a more serious point, the man who's never been told no, they're now starting to tell him.
Well, you're wrong about that because Brazil is composed largely of mixed race people, so they can't use the race card.
All right, but did you hear that? The man who's always, he's never been told no, they're finally now starting to tell him no, 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 Obama.
Well, I think Nancy Reagan's line, just say no, is starting to become a mantra in the world for Barack Hussein Obama. In fact, that could be a new T-shirt, just say no. Could be a no play unto itself in Japan.
Savage.
I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was.
All right, turn it off. I'm not into this song. If it's Rock and Roll Friday, I'm going to enjoy myself anyway. I'm down in, you know, Area 54 right now. Total change of pace, getting away from, you know, your home base. You can get into a rut wherever you are. I mean, I didn't even remember. I didn't know where Obama was. I paid no attention to it. I was on a boat for a day. I didn't know where I was. I mean, I looked at the water, and it was so beautiful, it was beyond belief. Well, I could see why most people don't care about politics. There's another world out there. I got to tell you one little side note, then I'll go back to Obama bashing, if you don't mind, because he bashed himself. He did not have to go to Denmark. He did not have to put his prestige on the line. This was a miscalculation on the part of David Axelrod, the genius from Brooklyn, and Rahm Emanuel. They made a mistake. They sent them there. They never should have. Too risky. The wife, yes. The talk show host, yes. Air Force One, okay, they can get away with it. But not the president. Not at this time. This is the biggest egg on his face of his life. The guy is in quicksand right now. He's in a quagmire. Let's use a little phrase about Iraq. Obama is in a quagmire. You got that, Hem? What's his name, the guy on Fox? I forget his name. I don't even know his name anymore. He'll be forgotten on the ash heap of history anyway. The crybaby with the hemorrhoids. I don't know his name. I forget. I don't know his name. The one who copies everything I do, like he invented it, steals from Andrew Breitbart. What he doesn't steal from me, takes from Andrew Breitbart. Never saw anything like it. Gives nobody credit for anything. All right, what's the difference? What was I saying? I got distracted. So I'm on the water. I didn't know where Obama was. For 2 days, I forgot everything that was unimportant in the world. And I got back to the eternal things that most human beings know about. I was with family. We're coming into Newport Harbor at dusk last night. It was astounding. I had forgotten how beautiful Southern California is, in fact. I got to tell you something. As long as I've lived in the San Francisco area, I've kind of loved the area. The people are from hunger. I can give you a thousand reasons why. It's the coldest place in America, spiritually. A death zone. A black hole. A nightmare. Ghouls. A nightmare, the Northern California area. Everyone stabs everybody in the back while smiling to your face, by and large. Now, I'm not saying the world's any different anywhere else, but at least the weather is better. I come into Newport Harbor. It's like one of those soft nights. Now, here's the interesting part. I saw dozens of boats going out, on sailboats with young people on it, people in their 20s, 30s, partying. Partying like there was no recession. The sailboats are going out. They weren't all big yachts. Yay! Having a good time. And you know what? I enjoyed every minute of it. I said, you know, these people have the right idea. I look off to the left. I see the jetty. I see the sun falling over the jetty out to the west. I see people on surfboards. Again, you think they give a damn about Obama and the Olympics and Afghanistan and Iran? They don't care. And for those few hours that I saw all of that and felt all of that, I was a human being again. Now, of course, I'm not human again. Now I'm a talk show host. So I wake up and I see, there we are again, the world of politics, the hardscrabble world of politics, the combat sport of politics. Obama just lost his this was his biggest loss. I don't care how they spin it. He took a gamble. Axelrod should be fired. He needs a new general manager because they don't know what they're doing. They're over their heads. You know, they got this far locally. Then they pushed them over the finish line. Now the world is starting to mock the guy. This reminds me of Todd Browning's movie Freaks, if you ever saw it, where one of the characters in it toward the end of the movie is like they're saying they're laughing, 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 laughing. Everyone's laughing. They're all laughing at Obama. They're giving him the high five. It's like San Francisco. The rest of the world is like San Francisco to Obama. They smile to his face and mock him behind his back. San Francisco, Jan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I turned on the news this morning, and I said, thank God. He's in heaven, and he's in control, for the first time in my adult life.
So you're actually glad that Obama got egg on his face.
Yeah, I've been in fear of my government for the first time in my adult life. I see this guy setting himself up for a dictatorship, and I live in Northern California, and the rest of the world around me thinks I'm a kook, but I have hope now that since he can't be president of the world, he got slapped down today, and his rock star status is a little bit tarnished, and the dynamic duo isn't so dynamic. I think we can survive.
Do you agree with me that him going over there was a disastrous error?
It really was not a smart way to expand.
You know, let's put aside whether he should have gone or not. Now that we know he lost, he shouldn't have gone. But I was stunned that he had the audacity of dope to use Air Force One to peddle a commercial interest for a city while president, in light of all the problems we have. I mean, this was the audacity of dope. Somebody's smoking too much of it.
Definitely. But you
that's another line that could be stolen by Fox News tomorrow.
Why his concept of...
Do you know what I mean when I say stolen by the hem, when I make that statement, or should I not say that anymore?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know who he is.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know. Maybe I was talking to myself. It's shocking. Before words come out of my mouth, they're already on a blackboard. So you're happy today. I'm not happy. I'm not unhappy, frankly. I'm not happy or unhappy. It's not like a personal thing for me. I don't know where this ends up. I'll tell you what worries me is that you think that he's finished. That's your mistake. A cornered animal is very, very dangerous. This team, Team Obama, is very cornered right now, and they're very dangerous. Very dangerous. Cornered animal, dangerous. They're cornered right now. They've been outsmarted by North Korea, Iran, Saudi Arabia, China, Russia. They have now been outsmarted by even the Olympic Committee. I mean, even they know that the American people are on to them. So now they're in a corner. And don't think that they're quitters and don't think they're going to give up. Something horrible could happen. You understand this? That's what the whole story is. Now, with regard to the Olympics in Chicago or Brazil, if you want me to put my two cents in on that, since I'm supposed to have an opinion on that, why in the world would they want to have an Olympics in a polluted, crowded Midwestern city? Can anyone explain that to me? Why would you want an Olympics in a crowded, polluted Midwestern city to begin with? Moreover, since the composition of the world looks more like Chicago, I mean, looks more like Brazil than it does like Chicago, why wouldn't you want it in Brazil? Brazil is a multiracial, third world city that's on the move. It's actually a good choice. David in Albany, New York, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I disagree with the people who think Obama shouldn't have went to Europe to Denmark, and I think it was good. And I'll tell you why. And I also think it's good that the United Nations is in New York City, because the United Nations and the Olympics, it gives the CIA and the FBI, counterintelligence and national security agencies, the opportunity to recruit spies, double agents. So if you have...
All right, so let's take the UN on the side. Why was it good for the president to use the prestige of the United States of America and Air Force One to sell the bidding of a city for the year 2016?
Well, the Olympics bring billions of dollars into the economy, and it's an opportunity.
Hold it, hold it. Stop right there. Let me press the buzzer. You're wrong about that. Most Chicagoans knew that they would have to foot the tab for it.
And a lot of Americans, especially conservatives, would criticize the Pope, I mean Obama, if he went to visit the Pope for a funeral. And they would find some reason to, if he goes to NATO, they would disagree that he should be here. So I mean,
Wait. Now you're mixing up apples with oranges. This was not the Pope. This was a sporting event for the year 2016. Come on, stay focused, David. You're a smart guy. It was a sporting event for the year 2016 for a city of Chicago. He had no business lobbying for Chicago. He became a lobbyist for Chicago. That's embarrassing, David.
Chicago's a part of America. Chicago's the third largest city in America. It's great for...
But why for the year 2016, when we have a war raging in Afghanistan, which admittedly we don't even know if we're winning, we have an economic crisis in America that matches that of the 1920s, we have a high unemployment rate, doesn't he see how bad this looks?
The fact of the matter is, Air Force One is a flying office. It's the Oval Office on jet.
I know. He could do anything on Air Force One while flying. He can multitask. He can text message from Air Force One. You're still not talking about the main point. He put his prestige on the line, and he lost. He didn't win. So don't make believe it was a win for him, David. No matter how you spin it, everyone understands this was a terrible blow to his prestige.
Well, I think that the rest of the leaders around the world see that he's not too high and lofty to meet in a European city to where they're all trying to vie for that event. So I think that...
So in other words, no matter what he does, you're going to worship him.
No, I'm not going to worship him. I don't like this position.
Well, I mean, no matter what he does, you won't say he did anything wrong. At least I was willing to start criticizing Bush in the year 2000. I voted for Bush reluctantly, but I was very critical of everything he did when he was deserving of criticism. Can't you see what it is to be a slavish worshiper, which is what you apparently are, that no matter what he does is right?
At the Olympic Games, the CIA could recruit 1,000...
Again, the CIA. Nachum, the CIA again. All right. Thanks for listening. I much appreciate that. I got a migraine already from that call. Maybe I should go back on the... I envision the rest of my life on a boat, living on a boat. There was once a TV show when I was a kid sweating on a subway, working with a trench coat going into Manhattan by the IND. The raincoat stank of the subway after a few weeks. You know what I'm saying? The screeching, the noise, the molesters touching the women, the rolled up papers. I said, I got to get out of here. I mean, that's, you talk about Jimmy Cliff. There must be some way out of here. Even in those years, there was a TV show that took you out of your misery of ordinary existence. What was that show where a guy lived on a sailboat and he went down below and he always had pretty women? What was that show? The women. Does anyone know the name of that show where the guy went down below on his yacht and he always had, like, you know, girlfriends, never married? Whatever. Don't look it up. It's obscure. It's an arcane point. But even then, there was a guy, you know, who had that kind of life. I knew a guy like that. Actually, he was a stoned alcoholic who amounted to nothing. Most people live on their boats like that. Either they're junkies or alcoholics, and they're sexually deviant. On top of it all, that's why they're on a boat, because their wife threw them out 30 years. I'm sorry to know so much. No, you know certain things. You can't move to a boat. People who have boats don't live on it unless they're broke. The only reason you live on a boat is if you're broke. If you have a boat and you have money, you don't live on a boat. You go home at night. Admit it, you go away for a month or a week, whatever, you live on a boat. Nobody lives on a boat if they have any money. Johnny Carson, for example, had a boat in Marina Del Rey. Everyone went by. Every time they went by in the marina, there's Johnny Carson's boat. Nice, beautiful boat. He went out on it. Then there's a famous picture of George C. Scott's yacht about to be turned over by a big wave. I heard the story on that one. It's a famous one in yachting circles. It's a monster yacht, I don't know, 60 feet, 70 feet, and it was up in the air, literally almost vertical with a wave. He's coming out of a breakwater, and there's a wave almost turning the boat over vertically. And that's George C. Scott's boat. I found out the captain was going to be fired if he didn't take him out. He fought with the captain and said, you go out, you go out. See, ego. Let me explain something about this. There's another story about the ego of the winner that gets them where they want to go, but often will undermine them at a certain point in their life. It's called hubris. In other words, the very ego that is required to drive a man to great success or great fame is the same ego that will often have him on the rocks at some point in his life. There was a rock promoter of the lowest order named Bill Graham. In my opinion, a low-life degenerate who promoted the most vile groups in the world, promoted, you know, the most vile sex and drugs and rock and roll, Bill Graham. Now, there was a guy, unfortunately, died in a helicopter crash. You know how he died? There was a storm in San Francisco. His helicopter pilot said, it's not good to fly in this weather. The entrepreneur, Bill Graham, said, don't tell me what to do. I pay your salary. Get that helicopter. You'll take me where I want to. Crashed into a telephone line dead. So what I'm getting at is, at a certain point, every man needs a woman telling him he's worthless. I'll be right back.
And thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah.
Chicago, Chicago, so, that toddle in town.
You hear the difference? That sexy, beautiful Brazilian Chicago, in Ipanema compared to this harsh, Sinatra-esque voice. I mean, I may like Sinatra, but apparently something's rotten in Denmark. I don't know what it was. Promised them enough women or enough men or both. Or whatever they needed over there. They promised them more in Brazil than in Chicago. I don't know the reasons. All I know is that the president made an error. His advisors made an error. And this is a blow to his prestige. It's not a blow to America's prestige. It's a blow to Obama's personal prestige. I guess they first knee-jerk reacted, probably try to use the race card. But they couldn't, because Brazil is a multiracial nation, so it's darn we can't use that. So what can we use? I mean, I guess they could blame Nixon. They could find something Nixon did or said to blame them. So we could talk about this a little. There's another couple of big, huge monster stories that are out there. Here's a senator, a Democrat, who said he won't read the arcane and confusing legislative language of the health reform bill because it's all crap. Listen to clip three. You're not going to believe what you hear.
I don't expect to actually read the legislative language, because reading the legislative language is among the more confusing things I've ever read in my life. Senator Conrad actually read some of it, several pages of it, the other day. And I don't think anybody had a clue, including people who served on this committee for decades, what he was talking about.
There's our leaders. They don't even know what they're trying to pass. You hear this? Can you? I have another question, which I think I'm going to ask every day until I get an answer. When you go for a job, don't you have to take a drug test? Let's say you're a policeman, fireman, social worker, virtually any job in America today, you have to take a drug test, right or wrong? Why don't our legislators have to take a drug test? Answer, because most of them are not on illegal drugs. They're on prescription drugs that turn them into whack jobs. So that's the answer. Since they write the bills, you think they're going to say if you're messed up on Prozac, you're not fit to be a leader because you don't know what you're talking about and your soul has been stolen by a chemical? You think they're going to tell you that when they look so good to themselves in the mirror in the morning? That's why. That's all. Kansas City, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, the IOC states or publishes quantitative factors of eligibility that a city is required to at least meet in order to even be considered as a candidate for the Olympics. And Chicago doesn't meet these, which means that Obama spent his time trying to gain leverage over something that he has absolutely no control over. And why? Because he's rooted in self-entitlement. Self-entitlement is the soil and the thistles that it sustains is socialism.
Well, I wouldn't jump to... we know he's a socialist. I mean, I don't know why anyone argues over that. You know, he's not a socialist. I love the media. He's not a socialist. Some are accusing him of being a socialist. Ha, ha, ha. That vast right-wing conspiracy. How dare they say he's a socialist? Of course he's a socialist. What's the miracle about that? It's a mystery. The only question we have is how severe a socialist is he? And on the scale of socialism, where does he fit? I love it. Is he a socialist? Of course he is. Look, you can judge a man by his friends. Who is he friendly with? Hugo Chavez, socialist. Gaddafi, socialist. Everyone he's a friend with is a socialist. Gordon Brown, socialist. Every leader he's a good friend of that he admires is a socialist. He's trying to reinstate a socialist into the Honduras who was thrown out by the Supreme Court of their own country. And why does he want to take the side of the leader who was thrown out of Honduras? Because Chavez wants a larger arc of control over South America. Oh, so that means that Obama's on the side of Chavez? Yes, that's what it means. Yes. So let's, stay talking about something we can all understand. You know, the last president we had that was this bad was Jimmy Carter. The difference between Jimmy Carter and Obama is that Jimmy Carter was a racist and is a racist, in my opinion, while Obama's not really a racist. He's just an incompetent liberal socialist. Jimmy Carter was an incompetent racist liberal socialist. So listen to this. Even Candy Crowley of CNN, which is always on their side, says this to him in clip 12. I want you to hear this.
You made some remarks recently about how you felt about the protesters that were protesting against President Obama. You said overall you thought the protesters were upset that there was a black president, that there was racism involved. You said that many people...
By the way, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I said those on the fringe element that had...
You're a liar. Personal. You snake... You snake-wielding cracker, you. You did not say that. Play what he really said. Play it now on the show.
I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That we had come back with better news from Copenhagen. I could not be prouder of my hometown of Chicago. The volunteers were involved. Mayor Daley.
Another campaign.
The delegation,
hey?
And the American people for
another campaign.
The extraordinary bid that we put forward.
Well, he lost. That's all there is to it. Not only did Obama's prestige suffer a terrible, terrible blow, and many people who like Obama will not admit that, and many people who do not like Obama will be gleeful about that. But there are many questions that need to be answered. Is it not unprecedented for a president of the United States of America, especially in the midst of an economic crisis of this magnitude, in the midst of a war on two fronts, in the midst of trying to push forward legislation of on an order never before seen in this country, to have basically used the resources of the United States of America, mainly Air Force One, God knows how many Secret Service agents, and a staff that might have filled several other airplanes, simply to do the bidding as a lobbyist for a city. I do not think there's a comparison, or precedent rather, to any other president in American history. Now, I know that Bush went to the Beijing Olympics to watch the games using Air Force One. I'm aware of that. But this is a little different. This is lobbying for a city. And he said he would never hire lobbyists? Well, he has at least 12 lobbyists working for him, several sexual deviants and several criminals working for him who have not yet been caught. But the fact of the matter is, the man's lobbying for Chicago here. How do you feel about this? Don't put a positive spin on it and try it, because really, even liberals are saying this was a terrible blow. He's failed at everything he's tried so far. No matter what he's tried to sell, he's failed. Nothing he has done has worked. He has little to show for anything he has done. After all, in his inauguration, he said he would engage America's enemies, and he's done that. But what does he have to show for it? Unfortunately, nothing. Yes, it's true, Iran has agreed to taking part in bilateral talks directly with the U.S. this week over its development of offensive nuclear weapons. But that's something that the mullahs of Iran have wanted for decades. So what did we win on that? It's just a time-buying ploy by Tehran. He threw Czechoslovakia and Poland under the bus in order to get Russian cooperation behind new sanctions against Iran, and he got nothing. So now we see Obama going and losing again. It's shocking, frankly. It's shocking that the IOC, which is as corrupt as they get, you look back on the previous scandals, which I've outlined in the last hour, they probably were not smeared enough. I mean, the positive note here is maybe America didn't offer them enough. Maybe the VIG wasn't high enough from Chicago. I don't know. Maybe it was greed on the part of Chicago. We can only speculate. We don't know. We're the little people. We're the little people of the world. The big people who do these things are the ones who really know what went on. We do know that the IOC is filled with human beings, and human beings, being what they are, tend to be corrupt, especially when it comes to billions of dollars. And so they wanted a smear job. Whether it was blatant or covert, we don't know. But we know in the scandals of the past, Salt Lake City, Atlanta, Melbourne scandals, the people probably wanted something in return for giving the city the keys to billions of dollars in money. Now, remember, the people of Chicago were smart enough to know that no matter what the politicians promised them, they were going to have to foot most of the bill. In other words, Daley said that it would cost $500 million to do this or something. That's all the city would have to spend, when the actual estimates are near $5 billion, and the Chicagoans knew they would have to pay for it. That was number one. And number two, the average guy in Chicago or the woman has to get to work. They have to ride public transportation. They know that it's already, you know, basically difficult to do so at rush hour, crowded, et cetera. And they know that with hundreds of thousands of visitors, they would have an even more difficult time getting to work. So, you know, they didn't really want it. It wasn't such a big deal to them. So why did the IOC award the games to Brazil? Probably for a number of reasons that we can only speculate on. Probably money. Many of you will say, I'm glad that Comrade Obama and his cronies were voted down by the Olympic Committee. It's possible. This is the president who has not spoken to his commanding general in Afghanistan in 10 weeks. In the month since reinforcements were requested by General McChrystal, 43 American soldiers were whacked, but still no answer from the lobbyist Obama, who had other priorities. So he goes to Denmark, comes back empty-handed. The American economy is in tatters. The war in Afghanistan is neglected, and you're gonna like sit there and say that he did the right thing. I'm sorry, you're wrong. You have to understand here that there's a problem here for him. Obama's bid for Chicago fails is the headline. Brazil wins right to host the games. Will I watch them? No. Why? Because I'm not a sports fan to begin with. With very rare exception, I'm not interested in sports. Maybe you are. I know the world is sports mad, and maybe that's a good thing. Theoretically, it's a good thing because it takes man's hostility and they subjugate it to sporting events, and that's okay, and people who are really blessed with the ability to play sports have a place to go with it. I understand all of that. Doesn't mean I have to engage in it any more than the people who are into sports have to engage in intelligent conversation or thought. I understand that. So I'll take your calls on this subject, 1-800-449-8255. Is there anyone listening to this program who is actually supportive of Obama, who thinks that he came away a winner here? I'd like, try to give me a justification where you can spin this into something positive. Because even the slavish worshippers in the media were freaked out by it. They know this was a real loss. I mean, I don't understand how you could turn this into a win, you know? Well, I'll take your calls on this, then we'll get to the other news of the day, then we'll talk about whatever you want. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Give me some rock and roll for the minute before I take a call. And give me something I actually like.
Yeah.
All right.
We
yesterday. Except I'm not 13. Turn it off. That's all. And I don't want to go back. That's all. I don't want to go backwards. Forget music for right now. I'm not in a musical mood. Not in a, unless you want to play Victory at Sea. The only thing I want is music. Play Victory at Sea for me for a minute. I like the swirl of the sea. How a man could, how people could compose, take notes, very just notes, and conceptualize the feeling of the sea in a, in a, in a listener's mind. Listen. What are you playing? Yeah, there. You don't see a naval ship smashing into oncoming waves? You don't see, you don't see, I see that. Ever since I've been a child, I saw that. How in the world could a genius do a thing like this? I realize it's not as good as the music of today, the hieroglyphics called rap music. I'm going to take that stick and break that chick. I'm going to hit that guy and break his thigh. Ho, ho, ho. I'm going to give him a bang and give him a hang. I'm going to hang. Ho, ho, ho. I understand it's not as good as that. Give me a break. No, no break. Keep playing. Teach them something. Teach them something. If only we had a president that sounded like Victory at Sea instead of like a, well, you fill in the blank, the family show. Could you imagine the man says the other day that he doesn't want victory against Iran? Stop the music. Did you hear this man, Obama, this man over his head, the imposter? Did you hear what the imposter said the other day with regard to Iran? This is not a ball game. It does, he doesn't want victory over Iran. So therefore he wants defeat because they only play to win. Could you find that soundbite? So now he lost two, and this guy's like on a losing streak. If this guy was a gambler, they would offer him the high roller suite in every hotel in Nevada. Can I? Can you hear the play that for me, please, before I get mixed up altogether and forget what I'm talking about? You don't have it, okay. Still looking for that, so maybe you can find how many times. No, I'm saying he's on such a streak of losing right now, going back, I don't know how long now, one after the other. That if this guy was, a whale, that's a big gambler, for those of you who don't know the jargon. If he was a whale, and he was known in Vegas, if he flew in, they'd give him the whole top floor of any hotel for free, knowing that he was on a losing streak. You get the picture? I have to explain that, too? Oh, God. Come on. Come on with the thing already. I'm ad-libbing here in the middle of the... How can they not find... I think the way I think electronics works, technology today, is I ask for something, they have it in the computer... They hit Obama-Iran speech, and they press a button. But no, things are not that simple. Like, I'm getting ready, for example, to give my speech on October 15th, the Cambridge Union debate. So as you know, I'm banned in Britain. I can't go there. So I'm doing it by video, right? I can't believe how many days I have spent now with technology, technological issues. You would think it's easy to just go to a studio, give the speech in a tuxedo, and show them that I'm not a terrorist and I shouldn't have been on the list. And Brown is a schmuck and a terrorist himself who belongs in prison garb. But no, every day now, a teleprompter, this or that, this thing will connect on that line. It's getting me crazy already. I'm not used to this. Now play Obama. Go ahead. You found it already?
This isn't a football game. So I'm not interested in victory. I'm interested in resolving. The problem is that
okay,
Iran...
He's not interested in victory with Iran. So therefore, he's interested in defeat because he's in a game where it's not a college. This is no longer constitutional law with stone-headed white kids sitting at your feet. This is the real world. And in the real world, the Iranians play to win. And if you don't let them lose, they're going to win. Like the boxer said on Monday when I played that piece, the boxer who was crying, the Mexican boxer who got beat by Klitschko, that proud, phenomenal heavyweight Mexican boxer, Areola, who was crying in the ring. I admired him for his emotions. I admired him. You know what he said? He said, I guess he just had a strategy to win and I had a strategy to lose. You see, that's something that President Obama hasn't learned yet, that you can only compromise so far. That compromise can get you only so far. And when it comes down to brass tacks, either you win or you lose. I'll be right back.
Savage.
L.A. has some good Italian food, by the way. One joint has become terrible, I got to tell you. Can I mention a terrible place not to go to in L.A.? Can I? Am I allowed to do that? I used to, when I started coming here years ago, I went to Dantana's. I thought the food was great. It was really New York. And some of the people in there were right out of Goodfellas. which made it, you know, more entertaining. The food was fantastic. I'll tell you the truth. I got food out of there last night. First of all, it's filled with people from, like, Canarsie, Staten Island. I don't know where they're from. Screaming, throwing money at the guy in the front to get in there. The food was horrendous. Any local pizzeria, like an Angelo and Al's on the corner, could do as good a job now. And they overcharge you, no less. The shrimp was small. I mean, a year ago, they were big prawns. They smelled like the sea. They smelled like Mulberry Street. Everything was good. I don't know what they're thinking. I think maybe they're probably making more money with the schmucks who don't even know what they're eating than they did with the people who knew what they were eating. Certainly not the heyday of when L.A. knew, you know, had foodies who knew what they were doing. So I put an X through that place. Now, the place I actually like, I'm not going to tell you, because the minute I do, it'll be bad in the year. They actually serve scongili. You would not believe this place. I found it on a hill in L.A. I was shocked to find out that they had scongili in there because the grandfather started it from New Jersey. Don't mention it. Look at this Letterman thing. I don't like him. I think he's a phony. I never went for it. Let's put it this way. He's not my cup of tea. I don't think he's particularly talented. There are talk show hosts who are. Not recently, I don't know any, but there are some somewhere. In Brazil, I hear there's some talk shows that are good. They're transsexuals and they entertain. But you look at this, Letterman's extorted because he had sex. He had affairs with late show staffers. Now, let me ask you something. If there was an X-rated film of Letterman having sex with a staffer, would you want to see it? Could you imagine anything more disgusting than the idea of David Letterman having sex with anything, never mind a staffer? Why is this a story? So the guy tried to... A CBS producer allegedly tried to extort Letterman. He would expose the affairs unless he gave him $2 million. I think Letterman made a mistake. It's like Obama. He has the wrong advisors. If Letterman was smart, he would have let him expose the affairs, and people would think he's actually alive and viable. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Yes, please. Please let everybody know I had sex with staffers. Let them know there's still a man underneath this gray flannel suit. But no, the other way around. So that's how some world according to me. That's how I see it. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to michaelsavage.com where you got a couple of things you have to see. The stories are really refreshed beautifully daily, like flowers, every day, like fresh flowers for you. And then there's the petition already at 40,000. We got 40,000 signers wanting my name off the list in England. Book sales suddenly went through the roof. I don't know what happened because I told you I'm going to go to the press. Let's go to press. You know that, Walter Winchell? Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to, give myself a sore throat, let's go to press. I can't do voices anymore. Remember years ago I used to do Doctor on Savage, people loved it. My voice would go out for weeks. I can't do it anymore. Do you know what it takes to do a talk show? My God, I realized it yesterday sitting on the boat coming up from San Diego. The water was so gorgeous. I said, what am I doing? Why am I working? Why do I care about politics? Why do I care about politics? Well, the reason is, because everything I've worked for will be taken away from me if I don't. If I let these left-wing socialist bums do what they wanted to do, there'd be no boats except patrol boats hunting down people with money who are not fishing by hand. You know, now you get the picture. They're communists from the get-go. Think of Fidel and Raul Castro. That's who's running America, okay, in one way or another, on a minor key. Admittedly, not right away. You know, it's not hasta la victoria siempre quite yet, but close. We're close there. What's going to bring them down to earth and put them on a track of being, let's say, even mainstream Democrats? I don't know. I told you I had a dream 2 weeks ago about even I was appealing to Biden. I told you. Biden would be a better president than Obama, in my opinion. Why? Because Obama's been around the block. Obama knows how the country works. I mean, so Biden knows how the country works. Obama doesn't. Biden was never a professor. Biden, I don't think, ever had things handed to him. Biden is like a kind of a down-to-earth guy who's a Democrat machine politician. I don't question his loyalty to America as I do Obama. How do you like that? How do you like that? I am saying Biden would make a more stable president. I would trust the man more with foreign affairs than with this college guy. Everything the college guy does loses. Biden never would have flown there. He would have taken the subway if he was going to Denmark. He would have seen if he can get on.
Savage. Mitchell of the New York Daily Mirror and the Washington Post.
Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all ships at sea, let's go to press.
Although I wish that we had come back with better news from Copenhagen.
All right, we got it. But you did bring back some souvenirs, huh? You went down on, you went down by the river. You got some souvenirs, though, huh? Well, the main thing is they had a nice time. They had a nice meal, they had a good drink. Main thing is they had a good time on your dime. And the carbon footprint, though, that doesn't matter because it's Obama. What carbon footprint? Air Force One, Air Force Two, chase planes, cars, 300 Secret Service agents, 5,000 staffers to carry Michelle's coffee. That's all. And the airline, and then everybody else. And no carbon footprint on that one. Only when you sneeze and use a Kleenex is their carbon footprint. Only when you use toilet paper is the carbon footprint to the left-wing wackos in his administration. But no carbon footprint for him. The hypocrisy is beyond belief. It's beyond belief. Here's Jimmy Carter talking about, this is the weakest, most incompetent president in history, but perhaps even worse so than Jimmy Carter. So as I said earlier, Carter is called on a carpet by Candy Crowley of CNN, who tries to say that you said that most of those protesting against Obama are racist. Okay, listen to clip 12.
You made some remarks recently about how you felt about the protesters that were protesting against President Obama. You said overall you thought the protesters were upset that there was a black president, that there was racism involved. You said that many people...
By the way, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I said those on the fringe element that had vituperative personal attacks on President Obama, those
were... You're a liar. You should be banned in Denmark. Frankly, you should be banned from Washington, D.C. Frankly, you should be banned from the airwaves. This man is a clear and present day. Now, he's out of context now? Maybe he can set up a defense fund, Jimmy Carter's defense fund. He says he didn't say that? Oh, yeah? Listen to clip 15. This is exactly what he said, that snake-waving phony.
An overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man, that he's African-American.
Oh, really? So that's not what you said? An overwhelming portion of the protesters are racist because President Obama is a black man? That's not what you said? Maybe if you put down the strychnine and stop waving snakes, you'd find out that is what you said. Listen to clip 16.
Racism inclination still exists. And I think it's bubbled up to the surface.
You cracker, you're the racist.
Because of a belief among
attorney,
men.
I know, I can tell you something. I can smell a racist. And he who dealt it, smelt it. Okay? It is time to retire Jimmy Carter. The guy is an embarrassment to the... Look, even Obama disavowed what he said. Jimmy, here's it. Look, let me put it in context. Jimmy Carter is becoming, for Obama, what Reverend Wright was for Obama before the election. He does not need Jimmy Carter to say that anyone who opposes his policies is a racist. All they're going to do is alienate the midstream sports-loving morons who voted for him, the idiots who didn't know any better, the people who were so pissed off at Bush, so angry at the Iraq War, which seemed to be going on forever for no reason other than contracting, and so disenamored of the old man, the old man McCain, Tom McCain, the shoe man. Is that a 7.5 B, ma'am, or is it a 7.25 C? That they voted for Obama. In other words, it was a default vote. Even they understand that Jimmy Carter is wrong here to say that anyone who opposes Obama's policies is a racist. I mean, let's clear the air here. Same thing. You want practical reality. You want brass tacks. Obama expended his prestige in trying to sell the Olympics for Chicago in Denmark. It's unprecedented for an American president to use resources that are public to sell a private venue. Remember, this is a private event for a city. He was lobbying for Chicago while in office as president. If you do not see the conflict of interest in this, I can see why you voted for Obama. New York City, WOR. Tony, go to the Savage Nation. Welcome.
Hey, Michael. Thank you. The feeling I get, and I have a very strong feeling, is that they intentionally embarrassed him. And I think they made a point of it. That's how I feel. I can't prove it, but I feel that they did.
You sense that the IOC wanted to go out of their way and not even make it a close call in order to really humiliate Obama? Why?
I feel that he is, I think they're tired of him. I think Sarkozy and his comments represent a lot of Europeans and how they feel about him. And I think they made a point of saying that, you know, they scored the lowest. And they were pretty quick with this decision, and I think there was a certain amount of, I don't know if it's enjoyment, but I it was no accident. That's the feeling I get.
So you feel that the European leaders are fed up with this upstart?
Not only fed up, but I think they look at him as a little boy with an ego and arrogant, and I think they're kind of tired of him.
Go. You've given a spin to the left-wing racist that it's the racist white European leaders who did this to him. Gave them a spin.
Do with race at all. I think they just look at him as a rank amateur, and they're kind of tired of it.
You know, I would agree with you up to a point if it was based upon principle, but tell me when the IOC has been principled. I would say, as a practical man and a pragmatist, it was all about money. And I would say that the leaders of Brazil offered them more backroom deals than the Chicagoans did. I mean, in plain English, that would be my guess.
You may be right.
I'm trying to be like brass tacks Joe here. You know, like an uncle who would say to you, "What do you think happened?" It's all about money. Tell me what the Olympics are about other than money. Why do you think there's such a clamoring to get them into a city? Think about the money that's made on the concessions and on this and on that. The police overtime, you know, think about it.
I think Obama...
So it's all about money. So in other words, Chicago didn't offer enough money compared to Brazil. Maybe they didn't have enough money to offer. I don't know what the deal was. You'll never know whether it's direct payments or kind of behind the room, you know, behind the scenes, you know, extracurricular activities. I don't really know. We don't know. We're guessing, right? We're just the little people. We're the oi polloi. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-2255, michaelsavage.com. In Sacramento, San Francisco, KSTE, 650 on the dial. James, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm an African-American and one of the few conservatives that I know, and there was a small part of me and my family that was kind of happy when Obama got elected, because I said, you know, here's a guy that's got a good outside chance of making things happen. But it took me about a week and a half after the election, when he appointed a couple of people to fill some cabinet posts that had problems with their taxes. And I said, good, well, he's gonna take them out of the race right now and elect someone else. And it didn't happen. And the second it didn't happen, I said, here it comes. Here it comes. He's no different than anybody else. But what happened is it got worse and worse and worse. And, you know, just trying to show this to my kids. I remember how happy my kids were. And now, you know, we listen to your show religiously every day. My kids don't even want to hear his name. You know, it's just
shocking. In a way, it's sad. In a way, it's sad in the sense that I'll use the phrase that people want me to use, I guess. In a way, it's sad that African-American people are not proud of Obama for his accomplishments only because of his race. See, now, listen, think about what I just said. You can't be proud of Obama for any accomplishments he may have achieved as president, because there aren't any. The only thing an African-American can still be proud of Obama for is the fact that he's the first man of the race to have become president, if you want to put it to you that way. Even though you know, another part that's very disturbing to me and makes me uncomfortable, frankly, is I hate talking about racial issues because they're always misunderstood by people who are racists and want to try to nail you to a cross. But James and everyone else listening to the show, when he was running for the presidency, we learned he was 50% white and 50% black. Isn't that true, James?
Yeah, that's correct. And
Now there are many people who are biracial in this country, and it doesn't apply only to black white. There are biracial Asian Caucasian people. There are many biracial people in America today. Why is it that while he was running, he was biracial, and we heard a lot about his white mother and his black father, but the minute he became president, we no longer heard about his white mother, and he was suddenly the first black president? Why is that, James? Because they tried to make his critics shut their mouths by embarrassing them, saying, oh, if you criticize him, you're not criticizing his whiteness, you're criticizing his blackness. I mean, I'm being very, very blunt about this, James, and I don't think I'm crossing the line here. Do you?
No, not at all. It's
pretty much a typical stick of dynamite that a liberal will always use when they don't have an argument that can really be based on sound reasoning and a kind of an American-loving principle of doing business. You know, Dr. Savage, I've lived in California now for 10 years, but I'm from Texas, and I can tell you one thing. There's a long distance between a Texas Democrat and a California liberal. That, sir, I can tell you for sure.
Oh, yeah. There's no comparison. And I'm the first one, but I won't be the last one to say that John F. Kennedy was the kind of right-wing conservative Republican that we need, if you get the joke.
Well, can you? Well, of course. And I was just thinking about Kennedy earlier. You know, when Kennedy was confronted with the Soviets moving their missiles into Cuba, I don't recall, from my study of history, I don't recall him trying to negotiate.
Kennedy did not say, I'm not interested in victory with Cuba. He didn't say that, did he?
Right. No, sir. Not so whatsoever. He showed the pictures. He said, here's what's at stake. Here's what's going on. He drew a line in the sand, and that was it. And guess what happened?
Well, I'm very concerned about Obama's tendency toward conciliation with very evil people, because history has shown us repeatedly that they do not stop their behavior when you concede to them. They only magnify their behavior.
Well, it's very much, you know, and I know some people hate talking about this, but you do have to look at European history and look at how some of the European countries in the lead-up World War II tried to placate Hitler, and he just ran right over them. And now there's no comparison.
I know. Hey, James, let me send you a free copy of Band in Britain. I should have been doing it all day. I forgot. It's coming out. We're going to press with it on Monday. To be honest, we did go. I ordered the print run already, and I can add some. We're almost. I can't believe how it got sold out. I underestimated the number of people who were rushing to buy Band in Britain on my website. I'm telling you the God's honest here. First edition, first printing. I believe it's going to be a classic because it's my most important book and maybe my last book. The only book I may do after this, I can't say it because the Hem has the recorder out. I can't do it. One of them stole the dog idea already, made a bestseller years ago. Then forget it. What's the difference? I'm used to it. Doesn't matter. It's like Lao Tzu. You know, it doesn't matter who uses your ideas. The important thing is that your ideas are being used. That's all. I'll take the high road. Of course, in those days, there were no lawyers who sued for intellectual property rights violation. I guarantee you if Lao Tzu had lawyers in ancient China, he wouldn't have talked so highfalutin. He would have sued. You know what I mean? He said, it doesn't matter who uses your ideas. All that matters is your ideas are being used. That's very nice in ancient China because there were no lawyers from NYU. If he had a good lawyer from NYU who went for the jugular, he wouldn't have talked so nice. He would have sued. Anyway, we're talking about the Olympics today. We are talking about the fact that the poor president now has one defeat after another. We are talking about the fact that he can't sell anything. He can't sell it. No matter what he tries to sell, he can't sell. Can you name one thing he sold? Everything he's achieved, he's done by executive order. How's that one? Write that one down, Hem. And that's not a bad little ploy, I'll say, Hem, now. The way one of the night Mrs. Calabash, wherever you may be. That's like a new one. Hem, write this one down. Here's one for you, Hem. It's not a bad one. He has not achieved. What did I just say? I forgot was a good. Whatever. It's Friday afternoon. I'm dizzy already from the computer. I haven't looked at the computer for a couple of days. My eyes cleared up. I almost threw my glasses away. I felt like I was at Lourdes Cathedral. I didn't need reading glasses. I couldn't see the cell phone. I didn't want to look. I didn't need the cell phone. Didn't go on the computer. All I did was look at the sea and birds. Oh, I saw whales. Have you ever seen a whale off your boat? I mean, it's amazing to watch a pod of whales, you know, with the spume. I was joking with the captains and the family members. I was playing around. I don't really mean it. I started saying, harpooner. They laughed, but they knew I was just joking. Can't imagine what that was like. See a beautiful whale and kill it while it's hardly dead, cut its blubber out for like lamps in New England. They skinned it alive almost. You know, all right, what are you going to do? There's a different time. You know, the great president who Obama emulates is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the great socialist who extended the Depression as long as he could to stay in office. Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is a whole name. It's like Barack Hussein Obama. The middle name is very important in both cases. In the case of Obama, the middle name is very important for reasons you now understand. It was not important during the election. It's now very important during the aftermath of the election. In the case of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, The middle name is very telling because that is the name of his maternal family, Delano. Now, the Delano fortune was made the good old American way. It was running drugs. In that case, it was running opium into China on American ships for England. Huh? Didn't know that. Little factotum. So, in other words, a drug dealer's grandson became president. What else is new? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so.
It is the Savage Nation. It is Rock and Roll Friday. And it's Rock and Roll Friday. It's Eddie, my love. Very beautiful. Bump and grind music. Ah, to the young thing. Instead of embracing a young friend, I'll be embracing a bowl of spaghetti tonight. I don't know what's better. I used to know a guy. He's an older guy. He was a great guy in England, as a matter of fact. He supported my scientific research when the government wouldn't. It's interesting how many ties I have with England, despite this group here now, the Labour government. And he was a wonderful man, very literate man. And I think when he was young, he was extremely good looking, and I think he was very lucky with the ladies. But he was an older man now. I don't know the exact age. And he said to me, there was a time in my life when sex meant more to me than anything. He said, but as I got older, he said, what was most important was food. And he said, there became a point in my life that if I visited Paris, there wasn't a trip too far that I wouldn't go to try a new restaurant. So that's not me at all. I can do without food. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Andrew in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Just wondering what the people are supposed to do, since we're supposed to have control of the country and our representatives. Clearly, obviously, not listening to us. They don't listen when we go out and rally in the streets. They don't listen when we sign petitions. They don't listen when we call them.
No.
So it's
no, like, no. They don't believe in a representative government. They believe in a government of the lobbyists, by the lobbyists, and for the lobbyists.
Okay, that was my next point. Didn't Barack Obama on his campaign trail say he was going to call lobbyists out by name?
Yeah, well, he hired seven of them. He called them out by name, and then he hired seven of them. And isn't it true that Barack Hussein Obama has just become a lobbyist for Chicago and a bad one at that?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean what would you call a man who flies to a foreign country on behalf of a city for the year 2016 when he isn't even in office, other than a lobbyist? Is there any way else to define him?
Other than absurd, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do either, because it's clearly up to the people. The people are doing everything they can. They're not listening, so what are we left to do?
Well, I'll let it go with that. It's a pregnant question for which there are only a few answers, and I can't give you any of them. Chicago. Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm in Waukegan, Illinois. We're about 40 miles north of Chicago, but we still know a little bit about pay-to-play. And I tell you what, this guy's got some major problems, because the unions, they play to win. And he had no choice. He had to go to battle for the Olympics to appease the unions.
I see.
And didn't win. He's got a problem.
But why do you suppose he didn't win is the issue? In other words, if the unions play to win, and they're not stupid, obviously, and they're powerful, how come they underplayed this game? Well, how did they play it wrong?
How about maybe the rest of the world is snubbing their nose at the unions and going, you know what, you've been powerful for long enough, and that power is gone.
I don't know what it is. All I know is it's Rock and Roll Friday, and I have another big hour here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be on michaelsavage.com.
Savage. Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the big news today is that Obama has expended his presidency on foolishness and lost. The world has slapped down him and his wife and even Oprah Winfrey. God knows they don't respect any of them, as we all know here on the Savage Nation. It's all a sham. It's a different world out there than the one the Obama machine has portrayed upon the American mind. What I'm talking about is that, astoundingly, the president got away with using Air Force One to send his wife and a TV hack to Europe to lobby to have the Olympics held in Obama's backyard, Chicago. Now, this is pretty astonishing when you consider that the Olympics will not occur while Obama is still in office. Why would he use Air Force One to send on a personal, private, commercial mission without any objection from the American Congress? 4 years, millions of dollars of planning, a last-ditch pitch from Obama, his wife, and Oprah, and the 2016 Olympic bid went to Brazil. You hear? The 2016, the city of Chicago eliminated in the first round of voting. I guess the corruption, the stench of corruption has even reached Denmark. Supporters in Chicago were shocked. Many left the rally in tears. No kidding. All that graft gone up in smoke. The party's going to come to an end. How many different health care reforms can they have by then? Obama goes to Copenhagen to deliver the closing remarks of Chicago's final presentation, and you know what he gets for it? A big laugh in the face. He brings First Lady Michelle Obama, another one that the world really is laughing at behind their back, and the TV hack, Oprah Winfrey, again, they're laughing at her behind their back. But the question I'm asking is, and am I the only one in the media asking it, is the king allowed to use an aircraft designed for the presidency to push the interests of a city while he is in office? How much do you think it cost to send over there? What about the carbon footprint of Obama going to Denmark? Listen to this. 5 months ago at Daley Plaza, here's what Obama the Magnificent said. You talk about an ego. He said, in 2016, I'll be wrapping up my second term as president, so I can't think of a better way than to be marching into Washington Park alongside Mayor Daley, alongside Rahm Emanuel, alongside Dick Durbin, alongside Valerie Jarrett, as president of the United States, and announcing to the world, let the games begin. Can you believe the arrogance and ego of this man?
And they came in last. They got the least number of votes. I guess the president of the world isn't so popular after all.
Well, someone asked me, why would any Chicago residents be opposed to the Olympics? Because he couldn't understand it. He said, wouldn't they be making money? The answer is, the fears are that there would be tremendous cost overruns because of the corruption in Chicago, that no matter what the Chicago so-called officials say, they know they're the descendants of Al Capone, and that whatever they say, they're going to foot the bill. Number two, not only would the taxpayers get stuck with the bill of the Olympics after all the money is stolen, but getting to and from work would become a logistical nightmare for many Chicago residents because the buses and trains are hardly running on time right now. They're packed to the rafters at rush hour. And the people were rightly afraid that with the a couple 100,000 visitors, they wouldn't be able to get to work.
That's right. And a report that I saw said that over the past 30 years, not a single Olympic city has even made money off of this.
Listen to this. As far as the funding goes, in June of 2009, Mayor Daley went to Lausanne, Switzerland, and changed course when he said yes when asked if Chicago would agree to sign a contract guaranteeing that the city would assume, quote, the financial responsibility for the planning, organization, and staging of the games, close quote. In other words, the Olympics had an estimated price tag of $4.8 billion. And yet Daley said the city would be on the hook for no more than the $500 million already approved by the city council. You hear this? $500 million, like it's his money, like it's nothing. Here's $500 million. But the real cost of 500, 10 times that. In fact, it got so bad that some Chicago aldermen grew skeptical, including Manny Flores, Sandy Jackson, and Joe Moore, who called for an independent auditing team for the Olympic bid. So the taxpayers were going to be stuck by the cost of the Olympics. That's the reality here. Also, the city began demolishing a hospital campus in order to engage in risky real estate speculation after purchasing the campus. And then the city residents lamented the demolition of some buildings designed by a renowned architect. Okay, it's all money. That's all it is. By the way, as recently as September 4th, a Chicago Trib poll indicated that only 47% of Chicagoans supported the Olympic bid and 45% were against it. You hear this? Isn't that amazing? And he goes to Copenhagen for a final pitch while president of the United States. And he abandons his health care reform plan. He abandons the war in Afghanistan. And this is what he spends his time on?
Hamlet said that something rotten was in the state of Denmark. I think something rotten was in the state of Illinois.
Well, one could say that Hamlet was right. It was there for 24 hours. The world knows who he is. A good percentage of the American people know who he is. Unfortunately, the Kool-Aid drinkers, the Jim Jones followers who elected him, will never know what's apparent to most of the world. And by the way, Tim Reed in Washington writes in the Times Online today, Obama's Olympic failure will only add to doubts about his presidency. So this lofty vision of himself is actually achieving nothing other than a lofty image of himself on a teleprompter. You know, his dismal showing after a personal last-minute pitch is a stunning humiliation for Obama. He cannot stand this much longer. And doesn't this feed the perception that on the world stage he looks good but carries absolutely no power and no authority, that they're laughing at him behind his back? See, in Copenhagen, Obama was greeted like a rock star by the delegates in Copenhagen, and then they humiliated him. So, as they say, what was that all about? Perception is reality, huh? This was not a narrow defeat for Chicago, was it, Beowulf?
No, they got less votes than anybody else.
The sheer scale of the defeat was a bombshell, and is a major blow for Obama at a time when questions are being asked about his style of governance. At home, it is difficult to turn on a television and not see Obama giving a press conference or an interview or at a town hall rally in order to sell his failed reform of the U.S. health insurance system. And so, although he's been exposed repeatedly, the idea of ramming a bill through Congress may happen with only one Republican vote. Now, what about abroad? Obama abroad said he was going to engage his enemies. You know what he got? Oh, they cheer him when he arrives. But what has he got to show for it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, they could say Iran took part in bilateral talks with the U.S. just this week over its nukes. But this is something Iran has wanted for years. So again, Obama capitulated to Iran. How about the missile defense debacle of 2 weeks ago, where he stabbed Czechoslovakia and Poland in the back, hoping to get in return Russian cooperation behind new sanctions against Tehran? And what did he get? Nothing. Vladimir Putin and the Chinese have now come out and said that they're vehemently opposed to any sanctions on Iran. What about Afghanistan? Tell me what's going on with Afghanistan. There's a public outcry right now over his Afghan strategy, 6 months after he announced that no one knows what it is. Now, so this is all adding to the perception that Obama's soaring rhetoric is not enough when it comes to the realities of the presidency. And the gigantic Olympic failure, where the U.S. came in last after expending all of our prestige, I should say his prestige and Oprah Winfrey's prestige, which is no prestige to most of my listeners, came to naught. Well, on MichaelSavage.com, there's still a lead story that you have to look at before we take it down. Did Obama Justice Department cover for Black Panther thugs who intimidated and terrorized people at voting booths? And also, this exclusive availability of Banned in Britain by Michael Savage, Beating the Liberal Blacklist, is only available on MichaelSavage.com. You can read the secret emails that blacklisted Savage. It is a seminal book about the fight for freedom of speech, and these are the last days to get a copy of the rare first edition first printing.
Savage.
It is Friday, and here's James Hurston with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Roman Polanski is in even more trouble the director's defenders focus on a film dealing with his case. Now, Lansky didn't direct this one, but rather he was sort of the star. The film is supposedly a documentary titled Roman Lansky, Wanted and Desired. Do you believe that? In the documentary, David Wells, a former prosecutor, is shown as discussing the Polanski case with the now-deceased trial judge, Lawrence J. Rittenband. Wells says in the movie that the judge took his advice and decided to renege on a plea bargain and give Polanski more prison time. But at a very bad time for Polanski, Wells is now publicly admitting that he made it all up. So after being arrested for a 32-year-old case, Polanski may have to stand trial for the additional crime of leaving the jurisdiction during a pending criminal case, and his primary defense has been severely undermined.
Why?
Because the same deputy district attorney, the one who triggered claims of misconduct, is now telling a different story. Quote, I've got to tell you, I lied, close quote.
Well, why was it that Wells lied?
Wells, the former prosecutor, told the New York Times. He says he tried to butter up the story to make him look better. Wells also said he had informed the district attorney's office of his lie several months ago and offered to make a formal statement, though none was taken yet. He says they interviewed him in the Malibu courthouse when he was still a DA, and meaning the filmmakers interviewed him, and he embellished the story. He said this in an interview with the Associated Press. He says he's a guy who wants to cut to the chase and admits, and here's a quote from him, I lied. That's kind of refreshing. Also, the guy has a conscience, Michael.
A conscience? What do you mean?
He says it embarrasses him, unlike some of Polanski's defenders. He admits that it cost the DA's office a lot of money and aggravation, and of course he's retired as a prosecutor. He was not officially involved, this guy Wells, in the Polanski prosecution, but was assigned to the Santa Monica courthouse where Polanski was charged. He says he made it all up to make the stuff look better. And this was a documentary, supposedly. Now, Wells said he'll testify in court that he lied. He's offered to give sworn declarations to prosecutors about his actions in case they need it. Now, so far, no one from the district attorney's office has contacted him, but he's going to be a devastating witness if Polanski comes back.
How do you think this might affect the support base, James?
Wells' revelations don't seem to matter to the director's apologists. And if you read the Polanski victim testimony, it makes his Hollywood defenders look ludicrous. Whoopi Goldberg remarked on ABC's The View that Roman Polanski case was not a case of rape, was not the kind of intentional crime that we normally associate with the term rape. Whoopi apparently never read the testimony of the victim, Samantha Geimer. Geimer's riveting testimony in front of a grand jury reveals that 43-year-old Polanski then gave the 13-year-old drugs and alcohol, told her to get into a jacuzzi naked. When she begged the director to stop and take her home, he refused. She spoke of her fear of the much older man that kept her there. And he took care of himself sexually in every conceivable way, despite her repeated pleas to let her go. And now, more than 100 filmmakers, actors, and entertainment industry types have signed a petition objecting to the fugitive director's arrest and demanding that he's released from the Swiss jail. Now, the names on the list include the aforementioned Whoopi, Martin Scorsese, Monica Bellucci, and Tilda Swinton, but one name on the list jumps out as truly preposterous. Woody Allen.
Are you kidding?
Now, you remember, Woody Allen had this 12-year relationship with actress Mia Farrow and had a highly inappropriate relationship with Sun-Yi Farrow-Previn. She was the adopted daughter of Mia Farrow and her previous husband, Andre Previn. And Allen lived in that household with Mia Farrow and this young girl and separated in 1992 after Farrow discovered nude photographs that Allen had taken of Sun-Yi. These people are truly certifiable. I mean, they will forgive the likes of Polanski, the rapist, seek clemency for Tukey Williams, the murderer, but will never forgive Ilya Kazan, the truth teller. Thanks, Michael, for continuing to pursue the truth. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks, James. It doesn't seem that the Hollywood mentality is getting any better under Obama. Not that I expected it to. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Play some rock and roll.
My tears are falling, 'cause you've taken her away. And though it really hurts me so, there's something that I've gotta say. Take good care of my baby. Please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do. Take good care of my baby. Now don't you ever make her cry.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Just let your love surround her.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
We talked about how the UN is trying to make Western nations give out money to the rest of the world like we haven't been doing it for the last 50 years. Now they're using it under the guise of health care for the world.
Medicine should not be sold, should not be a commercial business. You should make a declaration that medicine should be free of a charge, that vaccination should be given free to children, so that capitalist countries capitalist companies make the viruses and make the vaccinations, and they want to make a profit. And why don't we make it free of a charge? Why don't we give it free?
The communists in the media are working overtime trying to push the importance of big pharmaceutical solutions, even though they have not been properly tested. Well, this sounds like another money grab, and maybe they don't have our best interests at heart. Joining us now is Robert Scott Bell, who's been keeping his eye on this big pharma for us.
Thanks again, Michael. The president of the United Nations, perhaps we should refer to Obama this way. I mean, last week we covered this idea that the UN wanted money from all the rich nations because we're not given enough for the poor nations. But in reality, this was just a redistribution of wealth from us to the pharmaceutical industrial complex. These are global institutions almost. I mean, they're certainly corporations that have no allegiance to any nation or state, least of all these United States. And it upsets me greatly that this is the way we're promoting health care around the world, much less in our own country. And this week I've been following so many stories in relation not only to the swine flu, but also the FDA-approved pharmaceuticals. And I'm not here to say, neither are you, of course, that there's never a place for a drug. That's never been the argument or point. But what is happening is that we've become so programmed, so institutionalized in the thought that every ailment, every symptom has to be met with a synthetic substance approved by the FDA. And I'm just thinking that's a little out of balance. That's out of whack. Absolutely out of whack. And now, you know, I was traveling from Boston. I was at the Natural Products Expo East. This is, a big industry that's actually still thriving in the midst of a lot of downturn of our economy. There's actually a good segment of the economy as a lot of Americans are saying, hey, maybe I should be looking toward nature to nourish my body, to help my kids get strong and healthy, have good immune systems. And they're doing well. I'm coming back on the plane. I'm watching Fox News, and they got Dr. Pretty up there. You know, they have the beautiful doctor coming on saying, everybody should get a swine flu shot.
play the clip.
The side effects are so mild. It's some redness and soreness at the site of the injection. That's all we've seen. I mean, that is so much less. If you weigh the risks and the benefits from giving the vaccine, a little redness for a day or so versus being sick or potentially dying from the vaccine, it doesn't make sense. I mean, from the illness, it doesn't make sense.
So you suggest that we vaccinate the kids with both the seasonal flu vaccine and the swine flu vaccine?
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, wait a second. Wasn't this all about the fact that they thought it was going to mutate and be devastating to the entire planet? Millions, hundreds of millions of people could die. And now they're arguing that because it hasn't mutated, that everybody should get the shot because now it's a better match. Also ignoring the fact, as we've discussed before on your program, Michael, that the flu shot, the annual one, doesn't reduce mortality in any of the targeted groups. And these things have been published in the peer-reviewed journals.
So where do we go from here?
Now we look at the FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs. Okay, let's give the credit where drugs can do some things, but when we're over-relying upon them, the disasters that can happen. There's news out of, this came from some studies here, Avastin, a breast cancer drug. It's already been on the market. It's a blockbuster, an absolute blockbuster drug for Roche. And now they're actually thinking, wow, we might have to pull this. We had to halt enrollment in our study, a National Cancer Institute-sponsored study for Avastin. Because why? It was actually causing heart failure.
Oh, my God.
Heart failure. Now, call me cynical, but, I mean, that's one way to reduce cancer deaths is give them a cancer drug. They die of a heart attack. That makes no sense. That's absurd. Now we also have, this is a drug I've covered over the years, Januvia, for pancreatic disorders, of course, diabetes. And Januvia has been on the market for years, but now a number of patients have developed pancreatitis, an inflamed, a deadly pancreatic disease, an inflammation. They could die of the drug that they're taking for their pancreas. Again, this makes little to no sense if we're looking at the reality that most people suffering from diabetes actually have a deficiency of a key mineral known as chromium. And the science is there to support that. But no, we can't support natural supplements. We have to look to drug America. But this is the result. Deaths, the FDA approved deaths. So it's okay. It's just a statistic. It's the price of doing business. And I feel that I want to support and defend life, not have the government approve death-inducing drugs, although I would defend anybody's right if they feel it's the right way to go. Now, we got Avastin, we got Merck's Januvia, we've got also now Tamiflu, right? We've talked about this as well. Tamiflu, supposedly, after all of the studies, all of the hype, all of the millions of dollars that has been transferred from the U.S. taxpayer to the maker of Tamiflu. And they only find out that at the end of the day, it reduces duration maybe about half a day. But it looks like they've labeled it wrong. They're actually telling people how to take it in milliliters or drops or teaspoons. Nobody knows how to do the math. And they're saying people are going to overdose on this thing. Did they withdraw it? Did they make them change it? No, it's still out there. But imagine, Michael, if a dietary supplement were labeled incorrectly, or if a dietary supplement were to cause heart failure.
Well, you talk about a classic double standard.
It's beyond a double standard. It's a no standard. And here we've got, the psychiatric profession. I've heard you rail on them, and appropriately so, because they're just digging in their heels and putting their patients on antidepressant drugs right, left, and center. In fact, if they have, in the medical profession, can't diagnose you, they don't know what it is, and you stay, you're still sick, they'll actually recommend you go to a psychiatrist to get on an SSRI drug. This week, we're now seeing a risk associated with the use of SSRIs like Zoloft and Lustral and Celexa. These were named in the report, causing septal heart defects in babies. In other words, they're putting mothers, I don't know, are they doing this for prepartum depression? They're actually putting mothers on SSRI drugs the first trimester. And these children are being born, more likely to be born with heart defects, septal wall defects. I mean, this is, harming children before they're born. They're not even getting a chance to get to be an adult to choose to take a drug or not. And these little babies are becoming victimized by what we call this incestual, illicit relationship between non-governmental organizations like the United Nations and Big Pharma, as well as our own government. What happened to the love of liberty, the love of the free market and capitalism? Can't the drug industry compete without a monopoly? without attacking all natural supplements in order to, let's say, clear the terrain so that only they are allowed to so-called prevent, cure, treat, mitigate disease? Does that make any sense to you?
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't make any sense to me either. And that's why, again, I appreciate all of the opportunity that we have together to restore liberty, to restore health, sanity to this nation, because this loss of liberty is at least partially due to a loss of health liberty, a loss of the concept that we can care for ourselves better than the government, better than Obamacare, better than Hillary Care, better than Senator Baucus Care, that we have these answers. They're already there. They may be in your health food store. They may be in your doctor, but your doctor is not allowed to go for a natural option. They go after his license too. And there are a lot of good doctors out there that are trying to encourage this better behavior, better diet, but the government and the licensing agencies stand in the way. Thanks, Michael, for standing up for the freedom of the doctors everywhere to do the right thing as well. I appreciate the time that we have together.
Where can we read more?
Check out the blog, Google Robert Scott Bell, or go to my blog. You can hear the podcast and updates on this and many subjects related to this so that your health is not taken down inadvertently by those coming with conflicts of interest from government. So just check it out at robertscottbell.blogspot.com. Thanks for helping me rock the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks for the report, Robert. Now listen to how the media went haywire once it realized Obama had failed to bring the Olympics to Chicago.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
This is a stunning disappointment, and it was, as it was said, it's seen the long faces here, and it was heard in the gasp when Jock Rode announced that Chicago was out of contention.
Huck is out?
You always want to win when you do something like
right.
this.
Chicago is out?
Chicago has now been eliminated in the first round of voting for the 2016 Summer Games.
Was it overkill? Did we, in fact, look too American?
Wait a minute. Chicago is out?
We can hardly believe our ears. It is a quiet time in Daley Plaza in the city of Chicago.
No town does local politics better than Chicago.
Chicago is out?
The fact that a contingent from Chicago got out politicized, boy, talk of that is a double stomach punch.
It's a tremendous blow to not only those in Chicago, but it also will call into question the considerable efforts by the president and the first lady going over there.
Whether Obama factored into it or not, whether there's anti-Americanism.
Chicago is out?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I still can't believe it.
Now to get outdone on insider politics.
The energy and the air really went out of this crowd just a few seconds ago.
The air went out of that balloon real fast. But
Chicago is out?
Whatever the case is, this is a great city, man.
Wait a minute. Chicago is out?
It looks like the halo has come off Obama even for the empty suits.
Savage.
It's time for the Friday review of the week's news clips. Let's start off with our glorious leader talking at the G20 meeting and saying he is not interested in victory against Iran.
Yeah, this isn't a football game, so I'm not interested in victory. I'm interested in resolving. The problem is that Iran repeatedly says that it's pursuing nuclear energy only for peaceful purposes, and its actions contradict its words.
Unbelievable. Not interested in victory? I guess he's interested in defeat. Are we supposed to let them win and destroy us? This is not believable. Our president has apologized too many times for America's strength. It is though the left has no pride in our nation and what we have accomplished as a people. In contrast, listen to this boxer, Chris Areola.
Chris, a brave effort. Why did it fall short?
I don't know, man. I'm sorry to everybody, man. I really wanted to be a champion today, man. And I worked my ass off. Your daddy's a strong. He hits hard. And I never wanted to quit, man. That's never in me. I didn't want to quit. I wanted to go full 12 rounds. I know it's me up, but hey, I'm sorry, guys.
So you didn't want it to be stopped, but obviously your trainer and the referee felt that you were taking too much punishment and you were not able to get to him in any way consistently.
No, I couldn't get to him, man. He was fighting the fight he was supposed to fight. He ran when he was supposed to. I just couldn't get to him, man.
Listen to the pride that he has.
You had a plan to get on the inside and to use your superior speed, hand speed on the inside. What did he do to neutralize that?
Why did he beat me? Whatever I did, he'd find a way to counteract that. And he just found a way to win, and I'll find a way to lose.
I think you gained a lot of fans in losing here for giving a great effort. Thank you very much, Chris.
This ain't the largest feat of me. I'm coming back.
No excuses, no plans on giving up, even though he lost. And now we go to Madeleine Halfbright, the Secretary of Hate under Bill Clinton, talking about her firm breasts and diplomatic skills, with a story about the Minister of South Korea commenting on both.
So I was in South Korea, and the minister there, after I'd left, was out with for a friendly dinner with some journalists, and he said, I'm about the same age as Secretary Albright, but I just love it when she comes here because she makes me feel so young, and when I hug her, she has very firm breasts.
Oh,
and
no.
So all of a sudden there's this whole thing about how could he have said something like that? Should he be fired or whatever? And I thought, well, this, you know, is a silly thing. And I said, well, what do you expect me to put those pins on?
Are you kidding me? This is the great diplomat? This is why I played some clips of Winston Churchill. You got to hear a real diplomat. Listen.
It is not in the power of a small group of men. Violent, ruthless men who have always, however, to cast their eyes back over their shoulders. It is not in their power to cramp and fetter the forward march of human destiny. The preponderant world forces are upon our side. They have but to be combined to be obeyed. We must arm. Britain must arm. America must arm.
And listen when he talks of dictators fearing words and thoughts. That plays right into my book, Banned in Britain, and my dilemma, Banned in Britain.
You see these dictators on their pedestal, surrounded by the bayonets of their soldiers and the truncheons of their police. They are afraid of words and thoughts. Words spoken abroad, thoughts stirring at home. All the more powerful because forbidden. These terrify them. A little mouse, a little tiny mouse of thought appears in the room, and even the mightiest potentates are thrown into panic. They make frantic efforts to bar out thoughts and words. They're afraid of the workings of the human mind. A state of society where men may not speak their minds.
Churchill's is the type of leadership that we need. This is what the world needs now. Not another Chamberlain slash Obama in appeasing the Hitler of Iran in hopes that they will change. Let's put that aside. Florida, Elaine, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, do you know what you do for me in my life? I appreciate, understand, and agree with your political views, but mostly I love your personal mices. I love when you talk about your doggie that you go on the boat with. And I love that story you told about the bug that went in your ear. That
oh, God. That was terrible. Well, that was definitely God talking to me. I heard him. When I finally wasn't listening, when that bug went in my ear, I said, okay, I'm listening, God. I'm sorry.
I love when you tell your personal stories. It just resonates with me. I enjoyed every single thing you say about your personal life, including the fact that I'm proud of you that you're going to be talking to the Cambridge, what are they called?
Union, yeah. Well, they have to do it by video link because the good, fair-minded liberals of Britain think I'm such a dangerous man that I'm not even allowed in the country. Can you imagine that? You know, the more I think about it, the angrier I get. You've got a murderer like Ahmad Ahmadinejad, who is torturing and murdering his political opposition. He's not banned from Britain. You got Gaddafi, who orchestrated the bombing of the Pan Am jet. He's not banned from Britain. You've got people even in the political world in America who egged on crowds in Harlem to burn down Freddie's Fashion Mart. They're not banned from Britain. How is that? How come a conservative who's never harmed anybody is banned in Britain, do you think, Elaine?
Well, somebody did this to you. Someone in Obama's government did this to you. There's no.
Well, that's my guess. Somebody did it. And the person who's supposed to undo it is Hillary Clinton. She is the U.S. Secretary of State. So all you got to do is ask yourself why she's not intervening on behalf of an American citizen. Ask yourself that question. And I want to get 100 senators and congressmen to pressure Hillary Clinton to act on behalf of Michael Savage. Because what goes around comes around, Elaine. Thank you for your kind words. I don't want to sit here and complain about it anymore. I'd rather talk about a pelican because, you know, the show eventually comes to an end. You go your way, I go my way, then life resumes, and there it is. You know, that's how it works. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
As I walk along, I wonder, oh, what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong. And as I still walk on, I think of
MichaelSavage.com and sign the petition, will you please? With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.